Hello, everyone, and welcome to Hit and Hustle from IrishSportsDaily.com. I am your host, Greg Flamong, and with me, as always, is Jamie Uwayama, Mr. Jamie University. It is Tuesday, April 30th. It's Dallas Golden commits to Notre Dame show. If you've been listening to our show for any amount of time, you know I've been looking forward to this. I think he is the best player in Notre Dame's class, regardless of who they sign or get committed from this point forward. I think he's a great player. We're going to talk about him and the impact of adding him to the class on the show. Basically, ever since on the ISD chat, whenever we kind of talk about recruiting and where things are, just kind of throwing things around amongst each other, all I really contribute is, where is Dallas Golden and when is he committing to Notre Dame? And so he has done so. We're going to talk about it. Very big addition to Notre Dame recruiting class in 2025. We'll talk about the rest of the 2025 class, where things are, who else they're looking to add, and some of the guys that there are going to be tracking throughout the summer, coming on summer visits. I see Talon Taylor, wide receiver, just set official visit for Notre Dame. I believe it's July. What, did I get that right? I think it's July 14th, or maybe it's June.
I think it's June. It's
June 14th, Talon Taylor is going to be on campus. So that's a big one for Notre Dame. We're going to be tracking that. And then we're going to open up a little bit NFL draft stuff, find out where everyone went, and, talk about those situations. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you like what you hear today and you haven't done so already, please subscribe to this channel. Please like this video. Please hit the notification bell so you know whatever it is. We are going live. Links to the podcast are going to be in the description below, as always. And we want to thank one of our sponsors who's always supporting us and bringing you this program, which is ESQ Clothing, which is founded by Notre Dame alum Ga Wang. You've seen ESQ on all your favorite Notre Dame players and coaches with over a decade of bringing the best custom clothing available. ESQ will help you look and feel your best in 2024. From a perfect fitting suit or sport coat, shirt or bomber jacket, or the perfect tuxedo for wedding season, check out Ga's amazing work at esqclothing.com. Book an appointment to upgrade your wardrobe today. Mention ISD and get 10% off your entire purchase. Jamie, let's talk about the NFL draft real quick. Joe Alt goes 5 to the Chargers. I think that's a nice result for him. I saw him as high as 5, I think it was, and as low as 8. So that was kind of his range. Goes to the Chargers. Jim Harbaugh hitting everyone in the fields, talking about offensive linemen as weapons. Jamie, that's a great quote. Credit to him. It's a great quote. Why don't you add weapons? We did add a weapon in the offensive line. Good landing spot for him. Blake Fisher goes 59 to the Texans. Jamie, I want to talk about a little bit about Blake Fisher in terms of how you feel about how this worked out for him. Obviously, going second round, I think that's a good result. In terms of when he came out, I think a lot of people were thinking, man, is he third, fourth round? Goes second round, goes mid-second round, or mid-late second round. He's taken the Aaron Banks track, and obviously that's worked out really well for Aaron Banks, who is now a starter for the San Francisco 49ers. Probably looks to get a really nice draft pick there. He ends up with the Houston Texans, up-and-coming franchise. How do you kind of evaluate things for Blake Fisher in terms of his decision and what could have been and where he ended up?
Yeah, I think it worked out great for him. Could he have come back and been a first round pick? I think that was definitely on the table for him. I mean, he didn't put out the best tape this year. Obviously, comparatively to Alt, he wasn't close to Alt as a prospect. But I think part of judging Fisher and Notre Dame fans evaluating Fisher is, one, comparing him to Alt, which, you're comparing to another guy who went 5th overall. Right. And you're also comparing him to the tackles from, years past. And he's probably, just in terms of what the kind of season he had, it was closer to, Eichenberg, Hainsey than it was Martin Stanley, you know, like, you know, Martin Stanley alt, right? So I think that's one of those things where, you know, he's judged from a Notre Dame perspective in a certain way. And really, when you look at it, this was like a stacked class in terms of offensive tackle for NFL draft. And I mean, he basically was in the next tier of tackles that went, and was like, when he went, then a run of tackles went. So he kind of went off the board there, which kind of just shows you like exactly what people think of his talent. I mean, the guy was like, he didn't start his first full year because he was hurt, essentially like a 3-year starter. And I think most people would have said that he was going to be a 3-and-out guy. And I think he already kind of had it in his mind that he was going to be, you know, a three and out guy like early on too. So I think that was just one of those things where, he kind of already had made that decision and was just going to kind of roll with it. And I mean, I don't know how it couldn't have turned out better for him, because one, he goes in the second round, so he's still like, you know, getting a pretty decent chunk of change to play. He's going to a great situation in Houston where he doesn't have to play right away. Right. They got two really good starting tackles in front of them. You know, when you, you know, their GM talked about how, you know, you can't have too many tackles, you know, so probably he will get a chance to maybe even play a bit this year. But he gets to kind of learn from these guys. He gets to go and like play in a really good offense with, you know, CJ Stroud and a bunch of good pieces there. They're going to be like, it's going to be a winning program there. And he doesn't have to rush onto the field. And whenever they decide to kind of move on, you know, from Laremy Tunsil or Titus Howard, he should be, as long as he does what he needs to do, he should be next in line to start there and be in a good position. So I was thinking that like there or Philadelphia would have been a great place. Obviously Philadelphia's got the great O-line coach, Jeff Stoutland, and you know, Lane Johnson is a phenomenal player.
Yeah.
He's on the back nine of his career. Like he's not going to play too many more years. Right. So that would have been a great situation for him. And I know that was like a team that was interested in him as well, but really like, I think even if, so Kansas City drafted, I believe the kid from BYU, Kingsley. Sorry, I don't want to butcher his last name. Right. The Polynesian kid from BYU who went to Oregon originally. Right. Well, that guy's going to have a chance to start for them right away. And not that that wouldn't have been good for Blake if he went there and, you know, you get a chance to start, that's great. But I do think that it would have been a lot of growing pains for him and he might have struggled a bit. And now he gets to kind of like dip his toes in the water and then just kind of ease in and learn instead of just being forced into it. Because I think he might have had a tough time if he was doing it, because he's not as pro ready as Alt.
Yeah, and it's an interesting situation. Rajon asked the question if they move Fisher to guard. I feel like he needs to get bigger if he's going to be guard, because he slimmed down quite a bit. So he's sitting there at 310. I think he needs to get 320, 330 if he's going to be a guard. I don't know if he's big enough right now to be a guard. I know a lot of people saw him as a guard when he came to Notre Dame, but it's like he's now – he's got to get some bulk back, I think, if he's going to be a guard. So that remains to be seen.
He was asked in the press conference, you know, after their day two press conference, and they specifically said they view him as a tackle. They view him as a tackle. They're like, yeah, maybe we would try him out as guard, but they talked about how Titus Howard is like, well, we played him a little bit at guard, but he's a better tackle. tackle. And they drafted Blake Fisher to be a tackle, not to be a guard. And it's not to say, like, obviously, you know, in the NFL, you carry like 7-8 linemen for a game, right? Yeah. So he might have to know it as well, but they didn't draft him to be that. So that's not, I think everyone kind of assuming, I think part of it was like previous bias of some people being like, well, he's always should have been a guard. It's like, I mean, he was a pretty good tackle. Like he's, yeah. you know, he, like I said, he wasn't on that top, top level, but he was still a pretty good tackle and a good enough tackle that they view him as they view him as a tackle. And they took him in the second round.
Yeah. Maris goes third round to the Cowboys. Pretty surprised for me. Third round seems pretty high for him. My friend who is a Dallas Cowboy fan, he asked me like, what is your take on him? And I was like, third round, I feel like you would want a like an every down player. And I don't know if Maris is that. Like, I could see it. I see him being like a sub package guy, but it's like, I don't know that you would ever view him as like a steal. You know, like I think he would just go in and be solid. I thought he would be like more fourth, fifth round, like kind of like everyone else. But good for him. I mean, look, it's obviously a great situation, great outcome for him coming out. Estime goes fifth round. I told you
he was going to go high.
You did say that. You did say that. He tested really well and he moved around really well too. I know that people are impressed with his work.
I'll find the quote here. There's a quote from their director of player personnel that I wanted to point out.
The Cowboys?
Yeah, the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah. I know.
You know, their VP of player personnel, Will McClay, you know, this is what he said. He's a linebacker that can rush, that can play stack, that can play on special teams. He has 34-inch arms. I told you, he's got like freakishly long arms. He's got longer arms than most edges. And the thing, he's got like offensive tackle, long arms. Mm-hmm. Adding that multiplicity into our defense and what Zimmer wanted from that specific position, you see those things for the guy, and he does it at Notre Dame, plays over the field, and you drop it to coverage. The multiplicity and number of things he can do at a high level is attractive. And I think that's just like one of those things. That's the NFL these days, right? They want, especially too, even if he's not a starter, it's like, okay, well, he can come in and do this thing. He can do this job. He can do that job, plus special teams and all that kind of stuff. And that's just kind of how, that's how defense is viewed. You know, that, I mean, look at how his main value to Notre Dame's defense last year was his ability to do different things.
Right.
And I think that's the main reason why he went so high. I mean, in addition to being long and whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But like, mm-hmm. I think that's the main thing, because no one would watch the game and just say, as like a pure linebacker, no one would watch JD Bertrand and Maris Leofel and say like, Maris is the better linebacker, like just straight pure linebacker. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone would say that. But you look at, well, he can do this, he can do that, blah, blah, blah. And that's why Bertrand, and I mean, he's smaller too, but like, that's why Bertrand is a fifth round pick. And that's why Maris, and maybe it was only Dallas that viewed him as that. But I mean, and Zimmer talked about too, how like his knowledge of the defense, and you know, they ran a pro scheme. He knew everyone's job and all that kind of stuff. And I think that is kind of the thing that's huge. That's really, really huge, especially for linebackers. Like you can't be see ball, get ball in the NFL. You have to be really smart and be able to like learn the defense. And I think that, and then also too, even though it wasn't mentioned, but like, I don't know if anyone watched, like, I mean, anyone who's watched Hard Knocks over the years, and Mike Zimmer's been on it a couple times, you know, once when I think when he was on, he was Dallas's DC. And then also when he was Cincinnati's DC. Mm-hmm. And he is a guy who likes physicality. Like he likes the violence, and Maris is a violent player. He's a guy who's going to try to, you know, take your head off. And I think that helps a lot too.
Yeah. I'll tell you what also helps in terms of Notre Dame is like kind of recruiting, like bring it back to recruiting. You know, before the draft, before the first round, they're talking about Caleb Williams, and Dan Orlovsky's up there talking about how Al Golden is bringing like a Notre Dame concept, Notre Dame schemes, Notre Dame coverages, Notre Dame blitzes, or NFL blitzes, NFL coverages, NFL schemes, NFL game plans, and what they did to Caleb Williams, who was the number one pick in the draft. And it's just like, what is there a better, like, do high school players watch the draft, Jamie? You know, like, of course they do. And then Ryan Clark is sitting next to him, whose son is at Notre Dame.
I don't think they watch the draft, but they watch clips.
Right.
And that got clipped out. And that got clipped out. And that was why it was a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, that's the best, like, recruiting pitch. Like, you don't listen to us. Listen to these people who are paid to analyze the sport. I'm talking about how they just completely schemed up Caleb Williams. And like Dan Orlovsky saying, like, I can't get this game out of my head. It's just the way that he played against Notre Dame. He finally saw an NFL type defense and they got, and he got worked, you know? So that's a good thing for Notre Dame. Audric Estime, fifth round of the Broncos. I think people were disappointed, but like, he ran a slow 40. That's just the deal. You run a slow 40, you're going to have that happen. Cam Hart goes fifth round of the Chargers. So he's going to be back with Alohi Gilman. He's going to be around, like, the Chargers are like kind of Notre Dame West a little bit in terms of, like, they've brought in a bunch of Notre Dame players over the years. So that's nice to see. Who else? JD Bertrand, fifth round to the Falcons. He's a Georgia native. I believe 47 minutes from his high school is where their facility is. So that's very nice for him. Javonte Jean-Baptiste goes seventh round to the Commanders. And so, to be honest, like, I felt like his measurables, maybe he could have gone a little higher. We're monitoring his pro career. I feel like there's something there with him.
Well, I think it's just, he's like, just one.
He's got some one-dimensional.
No, not one-dimensional, but he was in college for 6 years and he's got 1 year of production. And yeah. That's why he was whatever, right? But like,
but still monitoring. We're monitoring.
Oh, he definitely, like, I think, you know, if you're looking at kind of like where Romeo Okwara was obviously an undrafted guy, and then, I mean, he had a nice career, right? Like,
yeah,
that's something that I could easily see JJB having a similar career. I don't know if he's ever going to get double-digit sacks in a season, but, I mean, is he a guy that could where you look at, say, like, Khalid Kareem has obviously hung around, and he's played in the NFL for all these years, but he's kind of been in and off rosters. Didn't really get like he didn't get to that big second contract or anything, or even a, you know, a kind of a significant second contract. And I think JJB, it's like, it's potential. Like I think he would have a chance to make the team. Like, yeah. And you know, and a lot of seventh round picks don't make the team.
Yeah. I think, I mean, look, you have a trait that's rushing the passer. It bodes well for your NFL future. Let's get to the super chat from Brian Chesanek, kind of shifting gears a little bit. The Marcus Freeman isn't recruiting better than Kelly era crowd is very quiet these days. Where did they go? Thank you both. Always great work. I mean, I think a lot of people would look at the recruiting rankings this year in terms of, you know, they have 20 commitments now. And there's another question about that. We'll get to that in a second. They have 20 commitments now. They're the number one class just based on the number of commitments that they have. That's going to fall. They don't have any five stars, you know, technically. But like I said it after the spring game, like if you look at the roster and you look at the talent they've accumulated, guys that we are excited about, that's why I feel like the recruiting rankings piece is a little bit like, it's, you know, I said earlier in the offseason, like it's a sham. Like it doesn't, and I don't mean it's a sham. It just doesn't really matter. Like look at the way the roster's constructed. Look at how the team is built and then go from there in terms of how he recruits and how he builds his program and how he builds out his roster. Like to me, that is kind of the telltale sign, less so the recruiting rankings piece. Because we're about to talk about Dallas Golden. He's rated below Ivan Taylor. He's rated below Mark Zachary on 247 composite. He's rated below these players. He's Notre Dame's best player, in my opinion. I don't care where he's ranked. Doesn't matter. He is Notre Dame's best player in the class, and he will be. And so the fact that he's not a five-star, he's a five-star player for me. So That's kind of how I look at it. But do you have a comment from any of what I just said or from what Brian's comment here?
Well, yeah. I mean, there was one guy who was always in here all the time that we had to ban from the chat because he just was always complaining about recruiting no matter what Notre Dame was doing. So, yeah. You know, that's why it's a little bit quieter in this chat. But I mean, you know what? Here's the thing is that things are so fluid that so Notre Dame goes on a roll right now where Notre Dame is in terms of who they're going to the guys that are, you know, that we're going to talk about. Pretty much all of these guys are like top 100, top 200 level prospects, like, you know, pretty high four-star kids. So when that you're adding that, you can pick and choose and say like, well, where's the five stars, you know, or where's this, whatever. You can complain about that, but I don't know. Like, I just think it's like one of those things that it's like if you actually objectively look at where they've been in terms of like just the average star ranking, the number of blue chips they've signed, like the blue chip ratio or whatever that they've signed since Marcus Freeman took over, it's improved. Like, it's improved like pretty significantly into like better than at any point that it's been during the whole entire Brian Kelly era, right? And you can definitely say like, and I will say that you need to land more of the top guys. It's for sure. Like that's a thing. You do need to land more, like, cause that was always the thing when I remember this is just one of these, it's definitely always happens. Right. But like whenever there's a new coach and then he has that one recruiting class where it's like, oh my gosh, this is the way it's going to be. So BK had the class and a little bit of the 2013 class, but really that 2011 class, because it had Lynch and Tuitt and Ishaq Williams. And people were like, this is how he's recruiting? Like, I remember like Stuart Mandel and all these national writers wrote about like Notre Dame's recruiting this way on the D-line now. Like, look out, right? Like, this is
– yeah.
It did keep up like that. Like, it did not, right? It actually, like, and it's not like they haven't landed good defensive linemen since then, but they dipped down quite significantly after that. They've never even landed it close to having those three guys in terms of where they are ranked in a class before, right? So, or since then. And so I think there is a kind of thing where you want to say, like, it'd be nice if they landed more Tuitts, you know, if they landed, a couple more Tuitts in the class, and you weren't, if you said like Bryce Young became what he became as he rose up the rankings and proved like this was a great evaluation, all that kind of stuff. And then you have KVA, but you also had a Tuitt type in that class too, or whatever, right? Like, that's, I think one thing you could say, that's a valid, criticism. Mm-hmm. But to say that it's not measuring up to Brian Kelly is just like you weren't paying attention to what was going on during the Brian Kelly era. Yeah. If that's the case.
If you're only looking at rankings and ratings, that is a faulty way to do it, in my opinion. So I just think if you have to look at the entire way, like the portal, you have to look at all that stuff, right? Like, that all matters. And I think he's done a very good job with that.
Sorry, I just read Bernie's comment and I just don't put it up, but I just was Bernie's guy's just great. This guy loves the Kool-Aid. He loves it.
I want to shout out Greg Butler. Says first time watching, usually listen to the podcast on the ride home to and from work. Appreciate you being here, Greg. We love the Gregs. We love anytime there's a Greg in here, and we appreciate your viewership. All right, I'm gonna start off the Dallas Golden commits to Notre Dame celebration. And there's some other questions in here. I'm going to get to them. So if you ask a question, don't worry. We will get to that. From Vamos, Irish, Oscar. Thank you, Oscar. Who will be more valuable to Notre Dame long term? Dallas Golden or Deuce Knight? Jamie, what say you?
I don't know. I think it one of those things, first of all, it's like a fun kind of question to answer, but I hate these kind of questions because it's just like, I really don't know. I'm not a crystal ball reader. I don't know that
he's not a crystal ball guy.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know, you know, what's going to happen with them. I would say if I'm just talking about their ceilings, I think Deuce's ceiling is higher than anyone else in the class. So that's the thing. And I mean, I would put Dallas Golden right behind him, but I would say, and that's how I actually have it ranked too. But yeah, I mean, Dallas Golden is exceptional. I mean, I think we've really kind of established that.
Yeah, I'm going to say Dallas is, and I'll tell you why. Of course, I'm going to tell you why. It's a podcast. This is where we talk about things. Deuce is great, right? He's good. He's got the ceiling. You see the clips in the 7-on-7. Tremendous, right? Like some of these throws, it's like, man, that's a good throw. I don't care if it's in shorts and a t-shirt or whatever it might be. Like, that's good stuff, right? Like, this is no slight on Deuce Knight, okay? It isn't. Dallas Golden is, but Notre Dame already has CJ Carr. They have Kenny Minchie. They have quarterbacks who can attract, wide receivers. Tony Ventitelli says, Deuce, he is attracting other elite players with him. 100%. Like, that's true. But they have players who can do that as well, right? And I believe that Dallas Golden is a guy that Notre Dame just hasn't gotten. And that's why I think he's a bigger impact, because you need guys like this to see themselves coming to Notre Dame. Notre Dame has quarterbacks who see themselves coming to Notre Dame. CJ Carr did it, right? Kenny Minchie did it. Deuce Knight did it, right? These are highly ranked players. But like the Dallas Goldens, I mean, look at this. He's running goal line wildcat quarterback, creating explosives out of goal line, people in the box, making someone miss in the hole and taking it to the house 80 plus yards. Like, this is a type of athlete that Notre Dame needs to get. Okay. Like, I listened to you and Mike yesterday on Power Hour talking about, you know, they need to get these guys. And it's like, not just the position, but the speed, the explosiveness. Like, I don't like calling him a corner. I don't like calling him an athlete. Like, he is a playmaker. His position is playmaker. And this is why I would say, like, put him on offense as well, because he will make plays for you. You have a guy like this who can just affect the game so many types of ways. You're doing the opponent a favor if you just put him at corner, right? If you just put him at safety, you're doing the opponent a favor. You want him to affect the game as many ways as possible. And that's why I look at Dallas Golden as like a very special, special football player, not corner, not athlete, like football player. And you need that, right? Just like Kyren, when Kyren came, like whatever his ranking was, it's like you see his ranking, and you say, well, you know, because he's smaller, he doesn't have a great 40, right? You know, and you see that, but you watch his film and you think, man, this guy is just he's a baller. He's just a football guy, is good in any type of situation. They put Kyren at safety and he was doing it, but it's like, he's not going to be a safety. He's too small. Dallas Golden doesn't have any size limitations. And so it's not that I think it's a ridiculous claim to say Deuce Knight, because he is like I don't like using the term freak, but he is an athletic marvel in terms of his size, explosiveness, his leaping ability, his throwing ability, right? If it ends up being him, then you can't say it's a surprise to anyone, because he's awesome. But I just think Dallas Golden is going to have an exponential effect on the Notre Dame program going forward. I'm over the moon. I'm so excited. I can't wait to cover him. I truly cannot. I am, you know this, Jamie. I'm out of my shoes with this. So that's how I feel about it. Anything from you?
Well, the only thing I'll add is just like, I think you really just hit the nail on the head in terms of just like, not kind of pigeonholing him as saying like, this guy's a corner, this guy's whatever, because and you know, they do project him at corner. So yeah. we'll just clarify that. But
yeah,
but he could play safety. He could play offense. He might return kicks, right? And also, too, I'm not going to go, whatever, I know, Greg, you want the guys to play both ways. I'm not going to go say he should play both ways or anything like that. I, you know, they want to give him some stuff there or whatever, fine. But I'll just say, if you look at, go look at every big game between, like, big opponents in college football. And you can go back to, like, Notre Dame games they won and they lost over the years, too, right? As far back as you want to go. But, like, just look at just a couple of recent ones. So, look at Clemson, the two big wins at against Clemson at home, you know, 2020 and 2022. Well, Ben Morrison, it was like a coming out party. It was like, well, Ben Morrison was a difference maker in that game, right? The 2020, Kyron Williams, house call, first play of the game, right? He was a difference maker in that game. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, difference maker in that game. USC this year, X Watts, difference maker in that game. USC 2013, you know, Andrew Hendricks is throwing worm burners. They can't score anymore. They can't allow USC to score another point because they're not going to be able to score another point. Second half of that game, Stephon Tuitt, difference maker. Right. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be like a certain position, but it's a guy that you can will come up with a play, can be a guy that is one of those different level of athletes that will come up with a play, whether it's a pick six, a pass breakup, whatever. Go back to the Georgia games that Notre Dame lost. It was like those guys for Georgia, like DeAndre Swift in the 2019 game. Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He was a difference maker in that game, right? Like that kind, those kind of players are the kind of guys that separate you when you get to the biggest games, when you're playing against the other elite teams, and you just need enough of those guys there because you can have a really great team and you can play with great scheme and all this kind of stuff too. But when you are like, it's like, Neo in the Matrix going above and beyond whatever the what is possible because he can do it. It's like some guys just have that extra ability that can do it in the big games. And I think Golden, to me, legitimately has that potential, which is why, I mean, I think he's, you know, he's a top 100 kid overall, I believe. I think he's a top 50 kid, in my opinion. You know, you said you think he's a five-star, but like, whatever he is, who cares? He, you know, because Kyron Williams wasn't whatever, he has that kind of potential. And I think that's the most important thing to take away from it.
And not for nothing, his name is Dallas Golden.
Yeah.
It's an incredible name. Like, has there ever been a bad Golden at Notre Dame? Al Golden, a Golden Tate? There's never been a bad Golden. It's just his name is Dallas Golden. I mean, it's written in the stars, Jamie. You just don't come to Notre Dame with the name Dallas Golden and you're not just awesome. And by the way, like Deuce Knight, that's a name for you. I mean, when you got Dallas Golden and Deuce Knight leading the class, I mean, there you go right there. That's something. So it's fantastic. It's a great addition for Notre Dame. It just like completely changes how I think everyone, like the way that everyone views the class, I think it should change how you feel about it. Cause it's just, he's that good of a player. Looking at 2025, is Notre Dame's approach to filling the majority of classes so early different, better than Mac Brown's Texas teams? He believes it is. So Notre Dame has 20 commitments so far that we haven't even gotten the summer of the signing period right now. It's a little bit different when the signing period used to be in February, right? So it's obviously brought up to December, but we haven't even got to summer officials yet. And Notre Dame's at 20. What do you make of this? I haven't really thought too much about it. Cause to me, it's just Notre Dame has always trended this way in terms of getting early commitments in the last few cycles specifically. But do you make anything of this? Do you think anything about this?
I think it's interesting and it's good. It's a great question to bring up.
Yeah.
Mick G, the director of Charlie's Angels Full Throttle, Mick G. Wonder if it's the same guy. But, you know, what Mac Brown did, I think there was like a lot there where, especially with Texas, is like, there was kind of like a lot of like meat on the bone left there for them that they, you know, they left out there for other people to pick at and to take away from Texas. And that was the problem, was that he like filled up with like 20 guys when it was like way, way early compared to it is. And now recruiting moves so much faster now, like 2026, they've already, you know, like, I don't know what it is with the offer number is off the top of my head, but it's like 150 or something like that. It's very high right now, right? It's well over 100.
Yeah.
For how many guys they've offered in 2026. And that's just the pace of recruiting now. And even though some of these other teams haven't, don't have as many. And I would think, like, I do think this cycle, I think they added maybe a few guys a little bit too early. And I would say, like, they could have been a bit more patient in certain respects. But I do think there is something to, when it comes to Notre Dame specifically, about finding guys who are a fit at Notre Dame, academically and kind of culturally, because that's a lot harder than a Texas, or, you know, pick another big time top tier program state school, right? Like, it's a completely different beast. So I think that's something to kind of like keep in mind with it, is like, they have to really get after guys early and kind of establish that. Because if they aren't finding those guys early, then all of a sudden, like, you might lose somebody that is could have been a great fit for Notre Dame. So you have to identify that very, very early on in the process. And I would also say too, look at all the guys they kind of like have left, you know, that they're still going after. They're still going after a lot of big time guys. So I wouldn't say it's like, it's not apples to apples. This is what I would say.
Yeah, it's not apples to apples, but it's serving kind of the same purpose. I think it's a little bit different too. It's like, you know, it's just like, take everyone from Texas, right? Like, just completely try to close down the state, right? And I think Notre Dame's in a different situation. But like you said, it's a good point about identifying your culture fits right away and then going in on that. It's very important for Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame has to think about it differently than every other program does. Even when it comes to the portal, like, and this is where I think the NIL stuff comes in, right? Like, you can't be, Notre Dame cannot be a school where a team or a player is like, you know what? I wasn't going to come to Notre Dame, but they offered me a bag. And so now it's like, I kind of like, they're going to be the highest bidder. Notre Dame can't be that. And they don't want to be that. Like, I think that's where the NIL stuff, where other schools can be a factor simply because of NIL, Notre Dame cannot be that. Right. And so that's where, like, goes into your culture conversation, Jamie, where I think Notre Dame is again, competitive in the NIL space, for lack of a better way to put it, but they're not going to be that school where it's like, you know, Jeremiah Smith, who's at Ohio State now, it's like, I'm not really into Notre Dame, but they offered me $3 million. Right. Like, so then I have to kick them. Notre Dame's not going to do that. They're never going to do that. But I think they'll be fine in the NIL space. I don't have a problem with Notre Dame's NIL operation. That's just a fact. It's just a fact of life. A lot of talk in the chat right now about Mark Zachary. Tom, he's retweeting things about a decision coming soon for him. Things seem to be coming to a head for him. I believe we like where Notre Dame stands at the moment. Would be a huge pickup, Jamie. I think it would kind of shut down the Notre Dame corner class. As far as, you know, obviously they like Dallas Golden at corner, Mark Zachary at corner. You got Cree Thomas at corner as well. So I believe that would end things. Top 100 recruit per 247. Jamie, obviously we think this is a pretty big deal for Notre Dame should they land him.
Yeah, no, it's a huge deal. And I think essentially like they could get another corner after him, but if they wanted to, they could probably shut it down depending on how they feel like with Cree Thomas and like, obviously he can play corner. Do they want him at safety? You know, he's a guy like here, you see him playing off, you know, off coverage right here. You know, breaking on the football, you know, great play on the football there. He's got ball skills.
Yeah.
He's a basketball player. Really, really good basketball player.
Love that he's a basketball player, by the
really,
way.
Really, really
good
that. Basketball player. Big time hops. Big time hops. He could dunk. And he's not a big guy, right?
Like, no, he's not.
That's the one thing, too. He's not like a, you know, a 6'1", 6'2 guy, right? Like, he's probably like 5'11", you know, 5'10 and a half, you know, but he's got all these other traits that you're looking for. Is a guy who can play press man. You see him playing off. Is a guy who will come up and smack you as a tackler too, and finds the football. Ball production. I think ball production is always big because if guys have trouble finding the football in coverage just at any point, it's very hard for to say like, okay, all of a sudden this guy is going to make a ton of plays on the ball at the college level when things get much, much harder, right? So, you know, I think that's important. And yeah, to me, he's like a kind of like a, you know, borderline top 100 level talent and a very, very good prospect. And like, I always think too, it's always big when there's a guy who is a top, you know, defensive back or receiver or something that normally you can't find in the Midwest that easily. And when you can sign a guy from the Midwest, you know, like a Zachary who's at his level, I think that's huge.
Yeah.
Ben Davis
High School. So I love the fact that he's a basketball player. I love the, just the kind of the able to operate in space, right? Like short area quickness stuff. Like you need that in basketball. And obviously the hops, like the boosties is what we used to call it in my day, Jamie, when you could really jump. So he would be like a great addition to Notre Dame. And like, talk about like the cornerback recruiting, defensive back recruiting, just absolutely. You have two corners in the top 100. You have Ivan Taylor, who's the top 50 caliber safety right now for Notre Dame. Like that, like Notre Dame defensive back recruiting is like, you know, we talk about wide receivers and, you know, where things are with them and needing to get, you know, needing to get that up to speed in terms of nationally. You guys talked about it on Power Hour. You need to get some wide receivers into the draft. The defensive back situation for Notre Dame is as good as it's been since the 90s, you know, like since those Holtz days when you had Todd Light and Bobby Taylor and Jeff Burris and guys like that, right? Like just churning out NFL type, like really highly rated quality recruits, athletes like that. It's a really good situation. You got to feel good about that. So we're going to be monitoring. I did say boosties. That's what we used to say.
This got to be like a Cali thing or something.
Yeah.
I've never heard boosties in my life.
Oh yeah. No, he's got boosties. He's got, man, that guy's got boosties. That's
boosties. We called it hops.
Well, you know, we ran on the boosties in SoCal 1999. Joe Bro asked about Viper. You said you weren't really keen. That's why everyone was in. Damian Shanklin was such a big deal because you weren't in on the Vipers in 2025. Not your favorite group, if I remember.
No, I don't think it's a deep group overall. Just in general, like I don't think it's like a great year for it for the Viper position in general. Like if you look at like almost all the edges that Notre Dame's after, most of them are guys that I would consider like strong side guys, even guys that would maybe grow into, you know, three techs, right? So, and that's why Shanklin was kind of like viewed in that way. So like you could say CJ May, who they might've been saying like, well, he's a Viper. I didn't really see him as a Viper. Like I saw him as someone who was going to play, you know, strong side and going to be the bigger types. And it's like, So Gabe Kaminsky was like a Viper that they offered early on. And then they basically took Hulak instead of Gabe Kaminsky. They liked Hulak better than Gabe Kaminsky. And Gabe Kaminsky, I can't remember if I just mentioned he committed to Stanford, but anyways, he committed to Stanford. And so it's like, you could go with guys that you're kind of like lukewarm with, like him, but he's a bit undersized. I think he's not a bad prospect, but he's not like as long as you want and doesn't have the frame of some of these other guys. So I think it might be better for them to, I imagine this month, May eval period, right? They're off at high schools or they're checking out guys. Imagine Al Washington's going to check out a bunch of guys. You know, maybe Al Golden too. Who knows, right? Other guys in the staff as well are going to check out, you know, potential Viper targets. So they might be able to find somebody, but I think like Hulak, maybe Kia, who they already have committed in the class to, and Madame Ferrermo, who is kind of that, you know, Marist kind of, you know, multiplicity guy who was a safety. Then he played linebacker, but he can line up off the edge. He's already 230 pounds. Like him and Hulak are both already 230 pounds, right? So they're big boys, right? So
yeah.
I think that might be the kind of way to go with it, because I just don't see a lot of guys that they're going to get in on. And even the guys that they kind of like were interested in that they had offered, you know, in addition to the guys they already have in the class, right? So like Ikenenbong, who committed to Georgia, and, you know, what's his face? Javion Campbell, right? The other guy. Those are like, they're going to be interior guys, right? They're going to be interior guys. So it's just not a great year for it. And unfortunately, that's just like, when it happens that way, it's maybe you have to look at guys that are more projectable. But also, in terms of where they're looking at for depth there and all that, it is a spot in the portal where you can find pass rush in the portal. Like in the last 3 years, teams have found it. Notre Dame has found it, right? They found it with JJB and RJ Oben. The last two cycles. And they didn't get a specific Viper types, but there are Viper types out there. There's definitely been Viper types out there that a bunch of schools have landed, and grad transfers too, not just, you know, undergrad guys too. So I think I wouldn't freak out about it at this point. We'll see what kind of happens after this May eval period and where they're going. It's not even anything to worry about. I think next year it's more of like going forward, because this is the thing, is that you could say, oh, they have Boubacar Traore next year, and you know, they should have either Tui Halamaka or, you know, one of these other guys that they can play there as a backup there or whatever. But it's about like, you don't want to be like all of a sudden, imagine Traore has an awesome year this year and then he has a great year the next year. Well, then it's like, well, who's next in line? Like, you know, and now they need Logan Thomas. It's a bit like Logan Thomas, you know, obviously hurt in the spring. He needs to be somebody, right? He can't be a miss because of where they're at. So all that kind of stuff, it can get you quick. It can get you so quick. And that really happened a lot in the Brian Kelly era. And it hasn't happened really that much. They've done a good job, I think, addressing kind of like needs in terms of portal stuff in the last couple years to kind of make that not happen, but it can happen quickly. So they got to be on top of it.
Yeah. And there's also the possibility of like, look, I feel like every cycle there's a guy who shows up like in October, you know, kind of September, October, November. It's like, oh, they're looking at this guy at Viper. He has a good senior year. And we don't know who that person is right now. And it's not always Viper, but like Audric Estime was late, right? Like he was a guy who kind of showed up. It's like, in December, basically, where it was like, never heard of him. He was committed to Michigan State. And so he goes, you know, he comes to Notre Dame, obviously he ends up there. And so maybe those guys haven't been seen yet. They need to get film out there. And if they do need to get film out there, and they need to get good film out there, then hopefully they are hitting up VSRMediaCompany.com. Founded by Notre Dame football pregame host and Emmy Award-winning anchor Vahid Sabrazade, VSR Media provides professional and cinematic video and photo. Whether you're looking for a collegiate or pro-level highlight reel, have a personal story to tell, or are aiming to diversify and grow your business, VSR Media specializes in short and long-form video storytelling, social media management, and website design. VSR Media also captures professional headshots, senior and sports photos. Contact them at VSRMediaCompany.com. Mention Irish Sports Daily to receive 20% off your first project. Visit them online or give them a call at 574-800-9106. Wide receiver, Jamie, they have a lot in fold right now, but they are still pushing for more wide receivers. They just made an offer yesterday to Dylan Robinson out of California, another 2025 guy that they offered. They are in heavily with Derek Meadows. They are in with Tanuq Hines. They are in with Tylan Taylor, who's coming in on official visit. Trayvon Boggs is also involved with Notre Dame.
Could or be Javon, taking in official, yeah, Javon.
Javon Boggs. Sorry about that. He's going to be taking in a. He's looking to be taking an official visit to Notre Dame. That's four guys, ostensibly for one spot, two spots. I mean, I can't
two spots. Two spots. They're getting two spots. Adding two guys for sure.
Okay. So four guys for two spots. Do you have a strong preference here? I think Derek Meadows is Notre Dame is leading, right? He is visiting Notre Dame, Georgia, and Alabama. Good
competition.
Good little situation there as far as his offer sheet. Congratulations to him on having some really good options. Notre Dame's been leading for him. They've led for him. I think Notre Dame, or at least Irish Sports Daily, feels good about where Notre Dame stands with Meadows right now, with Tanuq Hines, with Boggs, and with Tylan Taylor. Do you have a preference? In my opinion, any of those guys is like you can nitpick on which one specifically, but I don't think there is a big drop off in any of players. I think if Notre Dame was to land any of those three, you'd find yourself in a really good situation there. Is that your read as well?
Yeah, that's my take on it as well too. I mean, I would probably, if you could rank them any way you want, but it's not like if they ended up with Tanuq Hines and Taylor, you're not going to be crying about missing out on Meadows. You know, you'll be fine, right? Like, and if they added Boggs and Meadows, you'd be like, wow, yeah, that's great. Like,
yeah.
So I think, and also too, like, first of all, everybody always worries whenever there's like a new offer, like, oh, what does that mean for whatever? It's like, well, it means they don't have those guys secured and they shouldn't. It's like, you don't want to be in a situation where all of a sudden you are like, man, we're lost. Because if you look at safety last year, that was the situation, yeah. Right? Yeah. Where they were like starting to tell guys, hey, don't come on the, or we're not sure about you. And then all of a sudden these guys that they thought were going to be their backup plans committed to other schools that like it happened to them really quickly. So I'm always about like, if you find guys that you think are good enough, like keep offering them. And then if you land, but out of that kind of like the top four group that is there, I think those are like really, really good prospects. So if they land two of those four, like, I think they're going to be in a good spot. It's one of those things too, where I think they have to land two good ones too, because I do think like Terry, I still don't know if he's just a gadget guy or not, or if he can be more of a receiver. And Burris, who I like the most out of that group, I do like, and I think he is going to be a pretty decent player, has a chance to be a pretty decent player. But I think, you know, with Bettis, it's just like, I don't know what it's going to be with Bettis. And he is very much, I would consider, a project. So I think two other guys that you kind of feel with high ceilings, I think, is important.
Yeah. Coach Humph asks, Hypothetically speaking, what percentage would each of you rate Notre Dame's likelihood of getting at least one five-star that is not on the radar right now if Notre Dame is 12-0 in the top two or three ranked teams? So I would think, to be honest, it's not that it's unheard of. I think that's when you start to, like, where is Nathaniel Owusu-Boateng at that point? Where is he at? The five star lineman. I just totally blanked on his name right now. I had it on
Josh Petty.
I had it. Josh Petty. Like, where is he at that point? Because right now, I think we're just at, like, are they gonna, like, come back? Like, are they going to actually make Notre Dame a real player? And I think that Notre Dame, in that situation, if they were just like 12-0, running through the schedule, looked dominant, looked really good. So they are not like off the radar guys, but they're on the radar guys who are like very much like monitoring, but like not really a thing right now. Like I don't know that how much Notre Dame is the thing with those guys. Have to get them back on campus. Like, do they find a way? They wouldn't be 12-0, but like in November, do they find a way to be like, you know what? Notre Dame's 10-0 right now, and they're rocking. I need to check them out. I need to get on an official visit to Notre Dame. Like, that's the kind of thing where I could see that happening. Where are you at with this?
Yeah, I would give it a pretty low percentage that it would happen. Just it's not something that has traditionally happened where Notre Dame with, like, the late flips in terms of, like, you know, I think of, like, Eddie Vanderdoes as, like, the example. That obviously didn't work out well.
Yeah.
You know, someone who's not on the radar. So, like, they've gone and, like, flipped back guys like Aaron Lynch. They flipped them back, right? Like, you know, that's something. What I could see and kind of, like, you know, with – and hopefully Coach Hump feels good about this, because I think this is something that I could see happen where Notre Dame is gets in on somebody who's maybe not totally on the radar right now, but is like a riser guy who ends up as a five-star in the end of all the process. Right. I could see that happening where they're like, all of a sudden it's like, oh, they got in with some guy who's like, you know, maybe they had some kind of contact with, but it was like kind of on the down low. And then it was like, you know, coaching staffs were getting blown up or whatever at some other place or whatever. And then they had a bad season, that kind of thing. Could see that happening. But I think nowadays too, it's like almost it's like with how the portal is set up too, it's like, it's crazy how many guys like Julian Sand just was Alabama and now he's not, you know, like, and State. So it's like, I can almost see that being more of a scenario. Like, I would put almost that as a higher percentage. So where all of a sudden Notre Dame is, and I'm trying to think like, whatever, I don't even know a name, 'cause I guess it's not on the radar. Right. So, but just say there's somebody out there, offensive tackle, wide receiver, whatever, blah, 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 right? Like that, you know, Notre Dame, maybe like they had a cursory interest in Notre Dame, but nothing ever came of it. And then all of a sudden through some kind of connection, and then, you know, Kirby Smart goes to the NFL or whatever, right? Something happens there with some school. And then all of a sudden that opens up, like, I could see that happening. Like I could see that happening because at that point too, if that guy could already get into Notre Dame, that is something. It's not like it's not a transfer, a 1 year they was already out of school. It's like this person could get into Notre Dame. So that I think was, I mean, not, I wouldn't give it a high percentage, but it's a better percentage than just like all of a sudden flipping a guy out of nowhere. You know, because even with, if you look at like a Teo, you know, as a kind of a guy they got on signing day or whatever, that wasn't out of nowhere. Like that was a lot of work put into
it. They were on him. Yeah.
It's, it's really hard to just get that out of nowhere kind of thing for Notre Dame. And it's hard for any school, but especially for Notre Dame, because it's just different. And you got to want different. And if they don't, and chances are, if they didn't visit Notre Dame already, they probably aren't interested in different, you know? So
yeah,
that's why it would be tough.
Yeah, like that's what I was talking about. Like you have to be an like a super, I'm coming there because of the bag. And Notre Dame's not going to do that. That's just not their deal. Jalen G asked about Montre Miller, got a portal offer from Notre Dame, defensive back, previously at Kent State, 21 and 22. Some really nice production at Kent State at 21 and 22. Transferred to West Virginia. Don't believe played for them.
He was in one game, then he got hurt.
He got hurt. Okay, so he got hurt, entered the portal again, and now Notre Dame's offered him. We know they're looking at a defensive back from Rice, so they are in the market for a fourth or fifth guy, right? It seems to kind of replace Clarence Lewis on that front. This offer just came through. Do you have any thoughts on Montre Miller? It seems kind of smallish, but
yeah, nice small. Little, nice little athlete. Only played outside corner, so one of those guys too, where maybe they want to give him a shot at like nickel or whatever, but he hasn't played nickel, so. Yeah. We'll see. You know, like you said, he had good production the 2 years at Kent State as a full-time starter there, you know, six picks in the 2 years, you know, a double-digit havoc plays both of those seasons. Was a guy who, you know, had Power Five offers last year. I mean, right away, yeah, like you said, he's not going to be a considering to play over. He's not going to be a guy to start, you know. I wouldn't look at it that way. He's kind of a depth guy is the way that I would kind of look at it. But, you know, as a depth guy, you're not that far away from playing, really. You know, it could happen. I don't know what the circumstances about him leaving West Virginia are, or whether he got pushed out or he's just kind of looking for something else or whatever. But I don't know. I mean, I haven't watched his film, so I yeah. can't really give too much insight on him. I will say he's a verified athlete. Like he jumped 34.3 inches in high school, ran a 4.55 in
high school.
Yeah,
that's good for high school.
That's legit. That's legit. That's good. Yeah. So, athletically, I think, you know, he's not going to come in and just, you know, you're not looking at that kind of thing where he's like, man, he won't even be able to hang. Right. So, I mean, to me as a depth guy, personally too, I think because if you're looking at him, as Jalen G said, he's seventh year, right? He's a seventh year guy. So he's a seventh year. But also, too, he has 2 years of play over the kid from Rice who's got 1 year of play, basically. And the other thing is that Kent State is they actually have film. They played a lot of Power Five teams. Like they played a lot of Power Five teams. Like they played, you know, Washington, Oklahoma, and Georgia in 2022. Like, that's tape you can watch, right? Like they played A&M, Iowa, and Maryland the year before. Like, so you can watch them against legit
some competition. Real teams. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you can see whether or not this guy can actually play or not. So, at this level. So, I think it is one of those things where it's like, it is kind of sneaky important for them to get a depth guy there. So yeah, we'll see.
It'd be like if KJ Wallace wanted to come back, you know, so they're kind of that caliber of player, right? And KJ Wallace has played a lot of snaps now, so there's something there. We're monitoring Tyler Borgman, UCLA left tackle. Bruno Fina is in the portal, started at left tackle for UCLA last year. Something to keep an eye on. Tyler Borgman says the right tackle for Michigan State entered also. I don't know if Notre Dame's in on these guys, but
I don't know enough about them to know.
We're monitoring the portal. We're monitoring the portal for Notre Dame. Today it closes. So I feel like we might be on the way to some medical guys.
I mean, it could be.
You got to get to 85.
Also, too, there's just guys like, I think the other thing is some guys just like decide football's not for them.
Another thing, too, is like, you know, we worry about when are these guys going to go in? When are these guys going? Notre Dame is looking to add, right? So they are. It doesn't seem to be that they're concerned about numbers.
They're not sweating it. Yeah.
If they were concerned about numbers, they wouldn't be looking at, you know, at fifth corners or fourth corners or whatever it might be. Right. So that's something to keep in mind as well. So we'll keep an eye on the portal. We'll keep everyone monitored. You're going to stay locked in to irishsportsdaily.com for all the latest on that. Any updates on the portal? If Notre Dame's looking to add a tackle or a defensive back or someone is entering for Notre Dame. So you're going to want to stay locked in. IrishSportsDaily.com. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you like what you heard, please hit the like button. Please hit subscribe to this channel. Please hit the notification bell so you know whatever it is we are going live. Once again, links to the podcast are in the description below. We'll be back on Thursday talking more Notre Dame football. Have a good one, everyone. Keep hitting and hustling.